the universe? Who took the confused and conglomerate mass of sluggish matter and separated it into its parts? May I not inquire who is the master builder of this universe, how the mighty bulk was brought under the control of law and order, who gathered together the scattered atoms, who separated the disordered elements and assigned an outward form to elements that lay in one vast shapelessness? Or whence came all the expanse of light, and whether is it fire, or even brighter than fire? Am I not to ask these questions? Must I be ignorant of the heights whence I have descended? Whether I am to see this world but once, or to be born many times? What is my destination afterwards? What abode awaits my soul on its release from the laws of slavery among men? Do you forbid me to have a share in heaven? In other words, do you bid me live with my head bowed down? No. I am above such an existence. I was born to a greater destiny than to be a mere chattel of my body, and I regard this body as nothing but a chain which manacles my freedom. Therefore, I offer it as a sort of buffer to fortune, and shall allow no wound to penetrate through to my soul. For my body is the only part of me which can suffer injury. In this dwelling, which is exposed to peril, my soul lives free. Never shall this flesh drive me to feel fear, or to assume any pretense that is unworthy of a good man. Never shall I lie, in order to honor this petty body. When it seems proper, I shall sever my connection with it. And at present, while we are bound together, our alliance shall nevertheless not be one of equality. The soul shall bring all quarrels before its own tribunal. To despise our bodies is sure freedom. To return to our subject, this freedom will be greatly helped by the contemplation of which we were just speaking. All things are made up of matter and of God. God controls matter, which encompasses him and follows him as its guide and leader. And that which creates, in other words, God, is more powerful and precious than matter, which is acted upon by God. God's place in the universe corresponds to the soul's relation to man. World matter corresponds to our mortal body. Therefore, let the lower serve the higher. Let us be brave in the face of hazards. Let us not fear wrongs or wounds or bonds or poverty. And what is death? It is either the end or a process of change. I have no fear of ceasing to exist. It is the same as not having begun. Nor do I shrink from changing into another state, because I shall, under no conditions, be as cramped as I am now. Farewell.
Tim Ferriss again, the producer of this audiobook series. What follows is the first letter of the next volume, which is volume 2. The letter is number 66, on various aspects of virtue. We hope you enjoy it, and we also hope that you continue listening to the letters in Volume 2, which contains some of my personal favorites. You may find that volume and my other favorite books, including those not related to Seneca, at 4hourworkweek.com/books. That's all spelled out, F-O-U-R-H-O-U-R, workweek.com/books.
Letter 66. On Various Aspects of Virtue. I have just seen my former schoolmate Clarinus for the first time in many years. You need not wait for me to add that he is an old man, but I assure you that I found him hale in spirit and sturdy, although he is wrestling with a frail and feeble body. For nature acted unfairly when she gave him a poor domicile for so rare a soul. Or perhaps it was because she wished to prove to us that an absolutely strong and happy mind can lie hidden under any exterior. Be that as it may, Clarinus overcomes all these hindrances, and by despising his own body has arrived at a stage where he can despise other things also. The poet who sang, "Worth shows more pleasing in a form that's fair," is, in my opinion, mistaken. for virtue needs nothing to set it off. It is its own great glory, and it hallows the body in which it dwells. At any rate, I have begun to regard Claranus in a different light. He seems to me handsome, and as well set up in body as in mind. A great man can spring from a hovel. So can a beautiful and great soul from an ugly and insignificant body. For this reason, nature seems to me to breed certain men of this stamp, with the idea of proving that virtue springs into birth in any place whatever. Had it been possible for her to produce souls by themselves, and naked, she would have done so. As it is, nature does a still greater thing, for she produces certain men who, though hampered in their bodies, nonetheless break through the obstruction. I think Claranus has been produced as a pattern, that we might be enabled to understand that the soul is not disfigured by the ugliness of the body, but rather the opposite, that the body is beautified by the comeliness of the soul. Now, though Claranus and I have spent very few days together, we have, nevertheless, had many conversations, which I will at once pour forth and pass on to you. The first day, we investigated this problem. How can goods be equal if they are of three kinds? For certain of them, according to our philosophical tenets, are primary, such as joy, peace, and the welfare of one's country. Others are of the second order, molded in an unhappy material, such as the endurance of suffering and self-control during severe illness. We shall pray outright for the goods of the first class. For the second class, we shall pray only if the need shall arise. There is still a third variety, as, for example, a modest gait, a calm and honest countenance,